And welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke. Lori Walsh rejoins the program in just a few minutes. During his racing career, Kyle Petty was an eight-time winner in NASCAR's Top Touring Series. He was a fan favorite, and he followed in the footprints, or tire prints, of his grandfather Lee Petty, his father, the King Richard Petty, and his son Adam was the fourth generation of the Petty family to buckle into a race car. Those close to racing also know that Kyle Petty is equally, if not more, dedicated to his charity work. The Petty family created Victory Junction in honor of Kyle's son, Adam, and today he joins us to visit about the 23rd annual Kyle Petty Charity Ride Across America, which kicks off in just a couple of days on a route which goes right down Interstate 90 in South Dakota. Kyle Petty joins us from Portland, Oregon today. Welcome to In the Moment. It's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
All right. Well, the 23rd annual ride, Kyle, take us back to the beginning and tell us how the ride has grown over the last 23 years.
You know what? I'll give you the quick version. The quick version is there were about 10 or 15 of us that really wanted to ride motorcycles from California to North Carolina during the race season. We only get a couple of off weekends a year, so everybody was like, no, that's never going to happen. So we decided, hey, we'll do it for charity. Nobody can say no to charity. So we decided we'd put some money in the hat. We'd stop at different hospitals, children's hospitals, and visit with some kids and give them some die-cast cars and help their parents pay some bills. And that's what we did that first year. We raised about $35,000, gave away some cars, saw some kids, and said, man, it'll never get any better than that. 23 years later, we've raised $17.5 million. We've been to 23 different children's hospitals. And we've built a camp in North Carolina in memory of my son, Adam, called Victory Junction, to bring chronically and life-threatening kids with chronic illnesses to camp. Instead of visiting them at the hospital, we bring them to us free of charge.
Right. Now, the Ride Across America, is that is Victory Junction the main beneficiary, or are there some other charities that also benefit from the ride?
Yeah, Victory Junction is the main. We still do a few smaller charities and that have to do with children. But Victory Junction is our main objective. Our main objective is when Adam's accident happened, we built the camp in 2004. We've seen 27,000 kids at camp, totally free of charge. So we need to give as much money as possible to Victory Junction so they can see more and more kids. Wow. And that is our whole goal right now.
For those not familiar with Victory Junction and the Victory Junction gang, how long do children stay there? Can you tell us about the things they get to do when they're there and a few more details?
Yes, we have camp runs. Basically, we consider it a year-round camp because we have spring weekends and we have fall weekends. And a weekend consists of a Friday, a Saturday, and they go home Sunday afternoon. During summer camp, which starts in June, they stay a complete week. And summer camp goes from June on into August. So that's a complete week of camp. We have horseback riding, arts and crafts. We have a bowling alley. We have Bass Pro Shop sponsors an area that's our lake area, and it's called Catch, Kiss, and Release. So the kids catch a fish. They have to kiss it and have a Polaroid taken of them, and then they release the fish again. So that's pretty cool. Archery, ropes course, everything that we have at camp, every child can do. We didn't want any activity at camp where one group came in and we said, oh, yeah, you guys can do this. But another group came and you said, no, that's off limits for your disease. You guys can't do that. It's basically, camp is basically a hospital disguised as a camp.
That's so
at any given time, we'll have as many as 8 or 10 doctors, as many as 50 or 60 nurses. Our ratio is 2 volunteers for every one camper. We can do dialysis there. We can do light procedures there if we have an emergency. So it is a hospital, and the kids are always in a medically safe environment.
Wow. How about the families that have kids at the camp? Are the families able to be just as involved while the children are there?
No, that's our point.
Okay,
we're taking your kids away from you and not letting you stay involved. And it's funny. It's crazy, and we're not crazy, but it's really interesting to watch. We get so many kids that come to camp at 6, 7, 8 years old, who have gastrointestinal, who have a blood disorder, who have a certain form of cancer, who have spina bifida, whatever it may be, who have never been away from their parents, mm-hmm. have never been away from their parents or a family member, whether it's their grandparents, their aunts, or uncles. So this is their first break from that family tie. And for a lot of these families, this is their first break that they've allowed someone else to take their child and say, please take my child and please look after my child. And that's the responsibility that we bear at camp, is not to break that trust, to look after that child to the best of our ability. And the children come out the other side, those first night or two, when you've never been away from your mom and you're 8 or 9 years old, it's a little traumatic experience. So we go through that at camp. But when these kids spend a week away from their parents and realize there's other kids out there that have the same illness they have, there's other kids that are fighting the same things that they are fighting, it just empowers these kids. It allows them to just be the kids they are, not the child with the disease, just the kids that they are.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. How do families that would like to send their child to Victory Junction reach out? What's the process for getting your child involved?
You know, you go to victoryjunction.org, which is our website. There's a part there, a section on camp recruitment, and just get in touch with our camp recruiters, and they'll get in touch with you, leave your name, leave a number, call the camp, leave your name and number. Our camp recruiters will get in touch with you and start the process of bringing your children to camp. You know, here's what we do, and let me be real clear about this. You know, obviously asthma and diabetes, there are forms that these are illnesses that people know as chronic illnesses. But you know, and our deal is the kids that we see, we see kids that spend probably 30 to 45 days a year in a hospital. We see really, really sick kids. Most of these kids are homeschooled. They can't get on a regular schedule to go to school at a regular time and go to school on a regular amount of days because their illness pops up and they are so sick. So we see a degree of campers that are really, really sick. But if you know any child anywhere, we've seen kids from all 50 states and 6 foreign countries. So our doors are open. We'll bring you to camp.
Yeah, what a fabulous facility. Once again, we're visiting with Kyle Petty, 8-time winner in NASCAR's Top Touring Series, part of the legendary Petty Racing family. And Kyle Petty will begin his 23rd annual Ride Across America for Charity coming up, starting in Portland, Oregon, making its way to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And next week, the ride makes a couple of stops here in South Dakota. We'll talk more about those stops in just a moment. Kyle, you have some well-known figures and celebrities from the world of sports coming along for the ride. Who's joining you that our listeners might be familiar with?
Yeah, my dad, Richard Petty's with us. Donnie Allison's going to be with us, who was a contemporary of my dad.
Yeah.
Harry Gant, who was a contemporary of myself and my dad. And a guy named Herschel McGriff, who has been nominated for the NASCAR Hall of Fame, who was a contemporary of my grandfather, is riding with us. We also have Rick Allen, who is the voice of NASCAR for NBC Sports when we do the second half of the year at NBC Sports. And then we have Herschel Walker and George Rogers, two NFL stars and past Heisman Trophy winners. They'll be riding with us. And then we've got 125 other of the greatest people you've ever seen that tag along with us and ride across country.
Nice. It's cool you mentioned Herschel McGriff. The very first race I saw on asphalt back in the 70s in Denver, Herschel McGriff won that race.
No doubt.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
That man has won in he won in the 50s, he won in the 60s, he won in the 70s, he won in the 80s. He has won in at least one race in every decade he's raced in.
That's amazing. You're making, like we said, two stops in South Dakota, one in Deadwood, which is next Wednesday, and another in Mitchell, which is a week from today, next Thursday. Can you share some details on how fans and supporters can come out and see you and what they can expect during these stops?
Yeah, well, in Deadwood, we're going to get in early. We'll probably get in about 3:30, 4 o'clock, 4:30 that afternoon when we come into Deadwood. And a friend of mine, Scott Jacobs, who owns the art gallery there, is having a reception for us. And it's a free night for everybody. So we're just going to be wandering the streets. You'll see us at restaurants from about 4:00, 4:30 on. You'll see the bikes. You can't miss us. There's about 250 of us that come into town, so you won't be able to miss this crowd this time of year. We might get lost during bike week, but we're not going to get lost this time of year. But we'll just be wandering the streets there. When we come into Mitchell, a friend of mine, Brian Clock, who runs Clockwork
yeah, right,
there
yeah.
in Mitchell, South Dakota,
yep.
Yes, he has been instrumental. He and the people there, we're having a big deal over at the hotels there where it's open to the public. I think they're going to have a car show, a bike show, a band there. It's opened up. We're going by the Corn Palace to have a group photo taken. So we'll be over there as we ride into town. We're going to stop there first and then head to the hotels. And it is definitely open to the public, and we want everybody to come out. If you're close to Deadwood, please come out and look for us on the street or knock on the hotel door. You won't be able to miss it. There'll be bikes everywhere. And the same thing when we get to Mitchell. Please come out and just say hello.
Sounds like a real blast. What kind of bike are you riding, by the way?
I ride a Harley-Davidson Road Glide, and I've been riding Harleys pretty much my whole life. So that's just a habit, man, so I can't break it now.
All right. Your press release also mentions a stop at the world's largest ball of twine in Minnesota, so apparently you have a little Clark Griswold in you, huh?
Yeah, well, you know what? Here's what we decided. Honestly, we're going through Yellowstone. We're coming through, obviously, Deadwood, so we're going by Mount Rushmore in the Badlands. So I told him, I said, we're seeing all the beautiful creations and all the parks and stuff that this country has to offer. We're going to go to some of the lesser known. So the world's largest ball of twine assembled by one man, one individual. We're going to stop in and see it, and that'll top off. So when you put Rushmore in the world's largest ball of twine assembled by one man in the same sentence, you've done something.
Absolutely. I want to move on to a couple of questions about racing before we let you get going here. In the short time that's transpired since your final NASCAR race, we've seen some really big changes. To the point system, there's now a playoff format in place, and now races are divided into stages or segments since the beginning of this season. What do you think of those changes? Is NASCAR on the right track?
Yes, I think so. Definitely so. I think it's really with the segment stuff is a really positive change because it's a change. Let's go back. All the other stuff, the point system, all the stuff we've done, NASCAR referred to that as tweaks. We're going to tweak this system. We're going to tweak the how we do things. We're going to tweak this. This time they didn't say we're going to tweak it. They said we're going to change it, and they changed it. And I think we saw it as late as, you know, the last race at Talladega. Lap 55 meant something. It was the end of the segment. It meant you could score championship points. It meant you could get a segment win. If we go back to last year, 12 months ago, lap 55 at Talladega meant nothing. It just meant we were trying. We were right. One lap closer to the end of the race. So, here's the part that I want to say. The industry that you're in, on the other end of this phone, the radio and media industry that you're in, is constantly changing. Constantly changing. Let's go back 10 years to what you would be, the buttons you would be pushing, the things you would be saying, the way you would be recording, and how you would be doing stuff. It changed, and nobody thinks anything about it. That's just progress. Our sport can't stay stagnant. It has to change also to stay relevant, and I think these changes are positive changes.
Is the best change the safer barriers?
You know what? From a driver's perspective, and I believe from a fan's perspective, yes. That has been there's a combination of safer barriers, the Hans collar, the seat, the construction of the car.
Sure.
NASCAR became so incredibly proactive. Yes, all those changes are huge, huge changes for the sport.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mentioned broadcasting a moment ago, too, because I really enjoy your work as an analyst with NBC and before that with TNT. When did you realize that was something you wanted to do and could do well?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I never realized it was anything I wanted to do. It was just I wanted to stay around race people when I didn't have a job. So that kept me in the loop. And eventually I had to learn how to do it okay. I won't say I do it well, but I do it okay enough that they keep me on. And that's all I need to do. I just want to keep a job where I can be around the racetrack on the weekends and be around the race people that I grew up with. That's all I really care about.
That's good enough, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well,
yes, it is.
You know, did you have a mentor or a group of people to help ease you into the world of broadcasting?
You know what? I was very fortunate to work with Bill Weber and some of those guys when I first got into it, to work with John Roberts and some of the guys at Speed when I was first doing Speed. And then the work with Rick and all the guys that I work with now. I think you learn something from everybody you watch. And then to grow up watching Benny Parsons and Ned Jarrett and Buddy Baker and watching those guys make those transitions from driver into announcing, that was good too, to follow that. I'm not an announcer, okay? I'm not your play-by-play. I'm not that guy. I'm just going to tell you what I see, and I'm going to use my experience to say this is why this is right, or this is why this is wrong, or this is why I like this or not. It's not my job to be the color guy, so that makes it a lot easier for me because I can speak from past knowledge.
Yeah, well, you're doing it well. Keep up the good work. Kyle Petty been our guest, and he's just a couple of days away from beginning the 23rd annual Kyle Petty Charity Ride across America. It begins in Portland, Oregon, making its way to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with stops in Deadwood and Mitchell next Wednesday and Thursday, and see the Kyle Petty Charity Ride across America Facebook page. Kyle, is there a website as well?
Yes, you can go to kylepettycharityride.com to KP Charity Ride on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just follow us there.
Very good. Thank you so much, Kyle. This has been a lot of fun, and have a great time on the ride.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having us.